Hi, this is Zachary Hill.
And this is Maria Buyukos.
And you're listening to Creative Honey. Okay, so this is our second podcast, and we're calling it Authentic Revolution. So we're basically talking about how there's this kind of, you know, hopefully like a good thing, like a renaissance of, you know, like going back to the craftsmanship of a wide variety of creative outlets, I guess. Right, Maria?
Indeed. We're seeing a lot of very awesome kind of old school stuff popping up in the design world and the creative world in general. So we're pretty intrigued by it and excited by it.
Yeah, definitely. And like all of our podcasts that we want to do, and this is our second one, and we're excited about it. And, you know, we're kind of, you know, DIYing it here and just seeing where it goes. Mm-hmm. And but like I was trying to say, all of our podcasts are going to have a little bit of a backstory or kind of a reason why we decided to go with this topic. And last night, Maria and I actually went to a sign lettering panel, something that we don't do actually ourselves as designers, but it's something we're interested in because we want to learn more about just all kinds of creative crafts. And it was put on by LAIJMT here in Los Angeles. Want to give that group and Rachel, their organizer, a shout out. And it was just a very interesting panel, and it got us to thinking about how there's this kind of resurgency, and I think it's cyclical, of kind of making things a little more custom, a little more original, and which is probably a good thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of cool to see this panel of sign lettering veterans, and these guys have been doing it for forever, their whole life. They're super passionate about it. There's also a lady who was on the panel who got into it a little later in life, and she absolutely adores it. And it was just cool to hear them talk about these methods that they used to use, and then how the advent of technology kind of threw things off a little, but how still the stuff that is really stuck with them is the old school methods, and how all of a sudden these young whippersnappers are taking like hand lettering and sign lettering suddenly to a great interest, and they're pretty like astounded by it. They almost didn't know quite where it came from. We have a couple theories we'll probably end up discussing, but yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And like I keep saying, there's always, for me anyway, there's always kind of a backstory to what we're talking about. I think, you know, in the 90s and early 2000s, you know, I wasn't in the industry yet. I was still in high school, kind of, you know, pursuing other interests that weren't necessarily super creative. But, you know, from what I've seen and read and heard, the kind of 90s and early 2000s design was not very good.
Oh, yeah.
Just because in the sense where technologies just became king, and it got to the point where, you know, everyone was becoming, you know, a designer, you know, that had, you know, the Adobe programs, the Adobe software, and it just became about how much you could Photoshop something and how, you know, technical you can make it look when it came to any kind of design, and it just became very generic. You know, I think a lot of design was just kind of very ordinary at the end of the day, and everyone was kind of doing the same thing. And not to say that there wasn't really good stuff coming out in the 90s. You know, I'm sure there was, and, you know, maybe we, you know, having it go unnoticed. But I think it was not the best time when it comes to authenticity in the 90s and early 2000s, and I know a lot of other designers that we kind of look up to and hear from kind of felt the same way, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that at that time, like you were saying, technology started to become more available to people, and people were really enamored by the idea of technology and designing something in a computer, because that's when personal computers really started to become something that kids may have had access to, their own computer in high school. I mean, that was that weird generation where it was starting to become accessible before cell phones were really huge. But still, like, it was just really awesome to have this technology.
Yeah, I mean, because before kind of Photoshop came to prominence, this was like, you know, design was a true craft, you know. And it just kind of, a lot of creative professions was like a real trade and a real craft and something you had to kind of, you know, learn over time and kind of be an apprentice. And we recently posted something on our Facebook about kind of what it took to be a designer in the 60s, in the 70s, and, you know, without the computer. And it was a true trade and a true craft. And I think it's an exciting time because I think we're starting to realize how we could take these new technologies and just use them as tools for the crafts that we want to be involved in. And I know the panel that we were listening to the panel last night, and that's something they talked about, that technology, it should just be just another tool in the toolbox. And I think hopefully that there's this trend where that's shifting from where the technology took center stage in a lot of the crafts that we do, whether it's photography or design or whatever, you know, creative pursuits that we're, you know, taking on. I think technology is starting to just become a tool instead of center stage, and now the craftsmanship, the customability, the authenticity is now slowly starting to come back. And it could be cyclical at the end of the day. And but, you know, I think it's an exciting time to be a creative professional. What do you think about that, Maria?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely really exciting because we're part of this really weird generation that is basically kind of blasted with technology constantly. We kind of mentioned this a little bit in our previous podcast, but we're so kind of, I wouldn't say we're over technology, but we're not as enamored by it the way we were when it first started infiltrating the market, like, you know, accessibly. So I think now we're starting to become enamored with the old methods that are so crafty and skillful.
I think we used to be wowed by when someone took a head of a cat and put it on a human body. And everyone was like, whoa.
You're a design god.
How did they do that? And now that's just so, like, everyone knows how to do that now. Even, like, probably, like, fifth grade students, you know, they're probably being taught how to do that by watching YouTube now. And
it's on an app.
You know, or it's on an app.
Like, we talked about that before.
It's so true. I guess the point is that it's no longer a big deal because technology has just gone so great that some of these things we used to be kind of wowed about and, like, thought that was cool, you know, is now not a big deal. I mean, I think about, like, the Matrix movies are, like, the perfect kind of symbol of, like, the 90s and the 2000s, because, you know, when we first saw The Matrix, I was, like, kind of, like, growing up, I was still kind of a kid when those movies came out, and I was just like, oh my god, this is mind-blowingly awesome, like, how are they doing this stuff? And now when we watch those movies, we're like, eh, that's like, everyone does that now, you know. So it was kind of cool at the time, but, you know, now everyone does it. So, you know, I think, you know, maybe we're going off topic a little bit, but I think what we're trying to say is that technology has become so the norm that now there's a lot of kind of pushback to become, like, almost anti-technology and to create things that feel untouched by machine. What do you think about that, Maria?
I think when you said the key word is feel here, and seeing all these kids that showed up yesterday at the event that were actually students of these veterans at LA Trade Tech, and just seeing how excited and stoked they were, and I think they want to feel something again. Like we've become kind of like shut off automatons or whatever. And we're just, you know, it's, I think people want to feel that connection. They want to feel like they were saying, you could be outside in the sun and you can be working in environments and feeling nature and interacting with people walking by. It's like people don't want to just be sitting and designing a virtual world anymore. They want to be a part of the world. And what better way to do that than using your hands, connecting that directly with your mind and your soul. And I think that's what we need in our generation, is just to feel a little more. And it's coming through in our work.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with everything Maria just said there. And kind of to think about how it affects designers today, I think is interesting for us personally, because if you've seen our work, it's could not be more vector and clean and like digital, probably, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we like to still think that we're creating something custom and original, and there's some heart in it. It's not just stock, and we still want to, you know, have a trade and have a craft, even though we're doing everything just personally ourselves. We're doing everything kind of on screen. And I think, you know, what we hope to do, and I think what a lot of designers that do stuff more on screen than off screen, I think what we hope to accomplish is that we could still create something unique and original, even if it is a vector, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like turning on those emotions as a designer will help you no matter what medium you're designing in. You know, if you're just seeing something that looks cool on Pinterest and you're replicating it, you're not having, there's no soul to that. There's no like imagination, heart, and, you know, intrigue, you know, mystery. You're missing out on all the wonderful things that designers used to, and artists used to put into their work. And so if we can maybe find that organic feeling again as we're designing, and even digitally, then I think you'll still have a flavor in your work.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that's something we try to do. So we do a lot of iconography and flat illustration and things of that nature. I think it's very easy to make that feel soulless. So I guess what we try to do, and we hopefully succeed more than not, what we try to do is, yeah, just add a little bit of soul, like you said, where even though it's being created with a mouse or a tablet, it still maybe hopefully it has some soul, as if it were being created with a pen or a paintbrush. So yeah, I guess we bring all that up, or I bring all that up, because I think there's ways for designers and illustrators and photographers to still bring a level of authenticity, even if we're doing something that is on screen and more digital than traditional, I guess. Because I used to be an analog artist and an analog illustrator, and I just fell in love with the vector process. And I still think you could be, you know, technology could be your main tool, and you could still make authentic things, right?
Yeah, and I think one of the sign lettering pros that were there, she was saying that what she enjoys about technology is not that it does all the work for her, but that she likes merging something handmade with something, with the digital refinement that comes with using a program. So sometimes, you know, you just, there's nothing like feeling the friction of a design tool against paper or whatever other medium you're using, just feeling the friction, feeling the interaction, and watching the two things collide. There's nothing sometimes more rejuvenating than that, but then taking that same thing and then refining it in a really awesome way, it kind of gets the flavor of both worlds. So you could really just do both, and that's the nice thing about technology.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a perfect segue, Maria. Thank you for that. To kind of the second, I guess, item out there that inspired us to do this second podcast, which is a movie called Just Like Being There, which is a documentary that every creative person should watch, whether they're a photographer or a screen printer or illustrator. But if you are a screen printer, you must watch this movie because it is a documentary on screen printing and kind of the screen printing culture and the gig poster culture. And my friend Andy kind of told me to check this out, and because, you know, we're both screen printers and that's something we've done over the last year or so. And, you know, it just is super inspirational. And to me, the reason why it's inspirational for us or for me is just because it marries that technology concept, or, you know, the idea of using technology, and it marries technology with kind of that getting your hands dirty and getting ink, you know, all over the place and getting messy and doing something that feels like a trade and a kind of a labor intensive thing. And I just like the idea of where you maybe as a screen printer, you're spending the first half of doing something on screen, making your design and bringing it to the computer. And then the second half of that process is burning the screen, pulling the screen, and making this tactile print or t-shirt or bag. And I just kind of have always been fascinated by the marriage of technology and trade in screen printing. And that's kind of why I started to pursue it, and I plan to continue to pursue it in the future. Yeah, I don't know.
That was a really great documentary. It was so fun to see. I think the key to the success of all these pieces that were created, these iconic gig posters, is that you could see the artists who were doing this work were just so passionate about the music, so passionate about the story behind the band, and it just came out into these incredible, like, you could see the story in the work. It was so intricate. Some of them were very simple, but some were very intricate. And you could just see that there's just this level of connection emotionally to the work. And that's why they impact the fans so much. It's just, they're just incredible. They sum everything that's awesome up about that album or the band into like this amazing image. And they're just incredible collectibles for that reason also.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, well, I guess what we're trying to get at is that, you know, sign lettering and screen printing are just two of many ways for a creative professional, especially one that does a lot of digital things, to kind of be a craftsman again and to be part of a trade that doesn't feel so digital. You can have a sense of analog, I guess, through those two mediums. And I think there's other ways. I think there's kind of there's an analog revolution kind of going out there as well. We call this podcast Authentic Revolution, but we can also call it Analog Revolution. So we've talked about two things already, but there's, you know, you see Etsy is on the rise, you know, or has been on the rise for a long time. And that's all about craftsmanship, where, you know, you could buy, you know, a sweater at Target, or you could buy this cool hand-knitted sweater at Etsy. And I think more people are shifting towards buying those kind of things from Etsy, whether it's been hand-knit or shot on photo paper, or, you know, it's kind of, you know, on a negative instead of, you know, digitally shot. And I think there's just like this move for things to be kind of custom and authentic again. Right?
Yeah. Just taking away that automated aspect that is our modern day, you know, lives that we have, the world that we live in, that everything just feels so automated. And Zach and I always kind of joke around about like, oh, I wonder if that job's going to get automated and that one. And, oh, shoot, where does that leave us in the future? But I just can't help but feel that there will always be waves of humans craving authenticity and waves of craftsmanship that come back in one form or another. I don't know if humans can completely get rid of that tangible, you know.
I think, you know, as technology advances, there comes like a cycle, mm-hmm. from what I've noticed, where, you know, so technology gets a little bit better, and as a result, it's cheaper and easier to produce things made by a machine. But then there's like this pushback eventually, where kind of humans want things made by other humans. And then we go through a period where we're buying things made by other humans. And I think we're in there right now. But the scary and exciting thing at the same time, mostly scary, is that we'll probably get another advancement in technology that will get part of will be part of that cycle again, where now we're craving for cheap, easy things made by machines, and there's always going to be there. It's always going to be there, unfortunately. But right now, I think there is a level of people, or a certain chunk of people, that want things built by man, by human, by women, by just a human being of some kind. That it's not just like creative things too. Just like, I think people just want like just trust things that are made by a human being at the end of the day. You know, so yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because we both, as designers, we have to both stay on top of the latest technology and trends, but then we also have to counterbalance that with staying human. So it's kind of a weird, I guess you could say, dichotomy, like where you have to keep in touch with both. And sometimes that can be very difficult because technology does make things a lot easier. And I don't know. I like I said, there's just, I think keeping in touch with your heart as a designer will always keep you going where you're supposed to be going.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And then, I don't know, I can't speak for Maria, but this is something I'm really always struggling with, because I've found my niche and something that I love to do and something that I like to think I'm pretty good at doing through digital, through being an on-screen designer, where the illustrations that I make are digital, 100%. You know, so I guess my challenge is, how can I bring, you know, this kind of authenticity to the digital world? I think a lot of the response I've noticed, at least in graphic design and illustration, is like to texturize everything, you know, which is cool. I mean, some of my favorite illustrators and designers are doing that, basically, where they're, you know, finding some cool textures or making them themselves and kind of adding them to those illustrations to kind of make them feel like they were handmade, even though they're not. I'm very organic in my growth as an illustrator, so I just haven't gotten there yet for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe in a few months or a year or whatever, all of a sudden I'll start doing illustrations and everything have some kind of texture to it. I just haven't gone there yet. And I think another way I think designers and illustrators are, and even photographers and just kind of creative professionals in general, they're kind of referencing the past. We talked about that in the last podcast. We're making things that look like they're from the past, so it kind of creates the illusion that they're analog because they look like they're from like the 50s and 60s when everything was made, you know, in an analog way, in the 70s obviously. So I think that's something, you know, at least I think about. I don't know, do you think about that, Maria?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do actually. How do you maintain a sort of flavor? I love using textures in a kind of intense way sometimes, like more for personal projects right now. I haven't really branched that out into professional projects yet, but I'm starting to enjoy the feeling of something looking like when you touch it, it has a different texture, I guess, you know, like a visual, you could feel it through your eyeballs. I don't know, but it's kind of fun to see how you can play with these, because of flat graphics are what's really in some designers are forecasting that the flat design is just going to be that the new standard for a really long time, just because of technology.
I hope so.
it's kind of to our best interest, but you know, but then at the same time, it's like textures are starting to emerge and they look really amazing. These really awesome hand done textures, digitally made textures, but there's just something about a hand done texture or a picture, a high res picture of something up close. It's like a warmness, you know. And there was one illustrator that Zach kind of showed me one day. I think it's Ryo Takemasa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
That guy knows what he's doing. He has these incredibly beautiful, simple illustrations that just, but the flavor of the item just explodes with these incredibly refined but like organic looking textures. And that's something like I aspire to get to, that kind of level where that it's still flat feeling, but then it's also very like, I guess I flavorful. I don't know how else to describe it.
No. Yeah. I think, that's well said. I think if you're a digital designer, I think that's kind of a best approach to maybe blend in some techniques to kind of make it feel authentic. It should be authentic, I mean, but like to give it the appearance, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so that's a lot to think about for us and hopefully for anyone that's listening. I guess the last thing we want to talk about kind of on this topic is why all this is happening. Mm. You know, I mean, I have a theory that, you know, after the economic crash in 2008, I think just we as a society, like in American culture or even the worldwide culture, we were kind of tired of being duped, you know? And so a lot of the creative kind of content that was coming out pre-crash was like overblown and like everything's fine when it really wasn't. And now I think people want kind of the truth. And I think you see it in advertising where it's like these cute little indie songs and hipster songs and with like this hand-drawn type and just when it looks like, you know, everyone is just like just being honest with each other. And of course they're advertising, so they're not being honest with us at all. but they want to make it look like they are this time around. And what do you think about that?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's funny how many times I've read the word or the phrase like we are honest, like our goal is to deliver honest this or honest that. Like honest is like the new buzzword for designers, people,
advertisers
and all that. And I think you're onto something there, because definitely something changed. Many things changed, but definitely I think that might have been the genesis of the cravings for something real, honest, and authentic. Yeah.
Yeah.
You could see it happening.
And I think another offshoot is that people want a sense of community again that I don't think we had as much, you know, before the crash. We were all kind of really just really about ourselves. And this is America. We're always going to be a little bit individualistic at the end of the day, probably more than most countries. But I think, I'm hoping anyway, we became less that way after the crash. And so things like sign lettering and screen printing, they're going to have communities attached to it. And maybe off-screen photography and, you know, analog photography, just anything that has a trade, like anything that has a craft involved to it, is going to have a community involved with it usually. You know, so we were at the sign lettering thing, the sign lettering panel discussion last night, and there was some of us that were just interested designers that were there, just interested in what this craft was all about. But a lot of people there were like true, like hardcore sign painting, sign lettering fans. And I think people want to be part of a community again. So I think that's one reason why there's this movement in kind of being authentic and creating custom things.
Definitely. And you know what I've noticed about people who are in these like kind of specific craftsman, artisan type things? They're more on the humble side. Now, I can't say all of them are, but I've noticed it's like they all kind of want to help each other out. They're not really like threatened by each other's work, or like it's kind of beautiful to see them just be like, yeah, you know, help a brother out, like no problem. And it's awesome. I wish that would exist more in design in general, just because we're always like in that individualist mindset because of where, you know, our country and everything. But it's nice to see that people have managed to band together and become this like loving community of people who are encouraging each other and giving each other tips and tricks and inspiring one another. I think that's just like a really beautiful thing. And I wish to see that one day pick up more with all types of design.
Yeah. I think it'll happen. There's definitely those designers out there. You know who you are. They still want to be like the grand wizards. Like, I'm making this cat become a person with a suit, and I'm not going to tell you how because I'm awesome. You know, like, I think those kind of designers still exist, and they're kind of, or like even creative professionals in general, they're more into their own personal brands than community. I think we all get caught up in that. I think I do sometimes. I'm hoping that this kind of trend continues where people are seeking a little bit more authenticity and customization, originality, both on screen and off screen. It's very, I don't know, call me naive, but I think it's an exciting time. Again, we talked about this before, to be a creative professional, and it's scary at times, it's stressful, and sometimes it's hard to make money doing this stuff, but yeah. At the end of the day, I'm hoping that, you know, there's people are starting to recognize the value of original craftsmanship.
Amen.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, me too. So, yeah, I think that's it for today. Mm-hmm. So we did these first podcasts as a duo, and I think what's coming down the pipeline is exciting because we're going to start bringing on guests, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, we're excited about bringing on guests with awesome experiences and crafts, and they're just we have a lineup of some pretty amazing people that we're excited to bring on to just talk about their awesome lives. And yeah we're stoked. Because
you know, we kind of started this podcast just because we're two very passionate creatives that are just curious about other creatives and other creative lifestyles and other creative trades. Again, we went to this sign lettering panel discussion because we think it's cool and we wanted to learn more about it. Doesn't mean we're necessarily going to become sign painters all of a sudden. We just thought, hey, that's a cool thing. And we want to hear from people that are doing things that we might not be doing, and or maybe doing it better than us or different than us. And we just want to hear from people. We want to kind of reveal or talk about the creative world out there, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I think that was one of the original intentions of the podcast. So anyway, yeah, stay tuned for some guests from all different walks of life. And it'll be fun to kind of talk to other people and hear their points of view. And on that note, I mean, please interact with us on our, you know, so through social media, through email, creativehoney@gmail.com. And, you know, you can comment on our social media, mm-hmm. you know, just about topics you want us to talk about, or points about the show, how we can make it better, anything. We just want to hear from you, because one reason why we're doing this is to maybe foster a community, or at least kind of help it in some way, right?
Yeah. Again, we want to bring in that sense of community. So whatever way we can do it, we're going to do that. And we're just addicted to creative. So stay with us, and we'll be bringing you some great content soon.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, if you don't know already, you've been listening to Creative Honey. Sorry.
Creative Honey.
Yeah, choking on...
choking on some honey.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. I don't know. You have been listening to Creative Honey. Thank you very much.
We'll see you later.
All right.
Bye.